Yep, from Philadelphia, PA, this is the Young Robots Podcast.
Podcast Volume 2. I am DJ App 1 here with Ed Blamo. What's up, Ed?
What's up? What's up?
You know, if you've been waiting with bated breath for Volume 2, we apologize because this has been how long since Volume 1 came out? Like almost 3 months?
It's been like 3.5 years.
No, it wasn't. Anyway, it's been way too long since we did the first podcast. We're going to try to be a little more regular with these things, and we're getting our formula down. We're streamlining it. We're cooking up all kinds of ideas in the lab for high-tech, super interesting podcasting.
Doing it super big in 2012.
Yeah, really big. Really, really big. Ed is growing his hair out to be like Samson and get super-duper podcasting strength. So, yeah, we have an excellent, excellent guest on the podcast today. Mr. Sammy Bananas is going to be joining us from New York on the line in a little bit. And most of the show is going to be kicking it with Sammy and learning about all the cool projects he's got going on and talking about all sorts of good stuff from the musical to the scientific to the politically conscious. Got all kinds of threads running through this.
Yeah, we're going to be running down his project Telephone with Maggie Horn, 15th with Mike B on Fool's Gold, Strange Danger, the mystery, super mystery project with co-host Apt One.
Yeah.
And also we're going to be talking about his nonprofit organization, DJs for Climate Change, which is some interesting stuff he's doing, non-music related, sort of.
Okay, so we're going to start it off before we get Sammy on the horn with a tune by one of his duos called 15th. The name of the tune is Tomorrow. We'll be right back. Hey, so we got Sammy Bananas on the line from Brooklyn, New York. How you doing, Sammy?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm well.
You're well? That was grammatically excellent of you. Sammy, we got Ed Blamo here.
Yo, what up?
What's up, Ed?
Sammy, we're super excited to have you on the podcast, and we're a little disappointed that we're not a video podcast, because then people would be able to see like the symmetry on the split screen. I'd be on the far right, and I'd have a mustache, and Ed would be in the middle, and he wouldn't have a mustache, and you'd be on the far left, and you'd have a mustache, but we'll just have to ask our listeners to use their imaginations.
I'll grow my shit out, and then we can get a video camera.
Imagine a mustache sandwich.
Yeah, pretty much. we're gonna try our best to make the interview so long that Ed will have a mustache by the end of the interview. For those in our listening audience who don't know Sammy, Sammy's a good friend of Young Robots family. He does Wednesday night at Pianos in New York with Skinny Friedman. He's got some remixes, including our theme music this week, his remix of Skinny Friedman's $100 Salad. He's got some remixes on the label. He's got some remixes coming on the way from the label. This is an all-around good dude. And you got your hands in a lot of pots, so to speak, a bunch of different projects. And probably the biggest one you got going right now is a little thing called Telephoned that you do with Maggie Horn. And I was wondering if you could explain exactly what Telephoned is, because it's kind of a unconventional project.
Yeah. Telephoned is best described by thinking of the game of telephone. It's kind of one of those names that just, it has like the formula within the name. So like everything we do in Telephoned is informed by taking a message or something and then changing it kind of through our own lens. So the way that's easiest understood is that we really like cover songs and cover music. So we'll take somebody else's song, turn a T-Pain song into a groovy house song, or take a Manny Fresh beat and have Maggie sing a Christmas song over it. So we're kind of interested in like mutation and all that stuff. That's the long answer.
Yeah, and you guys also, so you do these sort of covers, but you also have an original song that you put out on Scion AV on 7-inch called Hold Me. What made you guys able to flip the script into doing something original, and how does that fit in the concept?
That song fits in the context because originally it was done as a cover of another song, and then we kind of took it a few steps further from that and made it into a purely original song. So it's sort of like you wouldn't necessarily be able to see those steps, but for us, that's how it happened. So that's how it's still part of the game that we're playing. And like, you know, I think as we start to make more original music, and we have some other original music that's about to come out in a couple months, you know, it's the same kind of idea. It might not be covers, but it's kind of playing with this idea of taking sounds that you're familiar with and, you know, kind of musical styles you're familiar with and kind of like shifting them into something slightly different, but that still hopefully sounds like the other music we've made as well.
So let's take a listen to Telephoned's Hold Me.
Why is it all I do? Just want you to hold me. This feeling feels. Like you'll never just hold me, baby, just hold me, so that it feels like you'll never let go of me. Never let go of me. Never let go of me. Never let go. Baby, just hold me.
So Telephones went on tour with Chromeo and Holy Ghost last year, and then you went on tour solo with Chromeo this year, this fall. That's just super awesome. How did that come about, and like what were your experiences and feelings about the whole thing? I mean, that must have been just amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Both times it was awesome, because it was both kind of different. I've actually known Dave and P and Chromeo for longer than I've known pretty much anybody else in my current kind of music people to hang out with. And they've been, you know, watching along the way. It could be a TV show, like, that's being filmed about me, you know, like a la Truman Show that they're producers of. Something like that, you know. I mean, everybody feels like that sometimes about their life. Like, what the hell is my life?
That was deep.
But but yeah. So,
yo, can you imagine exactly what kind of world it is where you have P-Thug is like the marionette puppet master with your life? I can just sort of imagine this as being the weirdest Charlie Kaufman movie that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was gonna say. That could be that's the seed of a Charlie Kaufman movie idea. So anyways, I've known them for a while, and so I think that I've always showed them the stuff that I'm doing, and they've always checked for it. And you know, the time has just been right in the past couple of years for them to bring me out as they've done bigger tours and are able to choose who their opening acts are. So yeah, it's just, that was like for both Telephones and for just me DJing. I think it was really a great experience.
Any crazy tour stories? You know, rock stars always be talking about like the crazy shit that happened on their tour. Any like standout stuff for you from either one?
Man, it's funny because like this last time I was on a tour bus with Telephone. We had to just kind of make it up as we went along and through a series of planes, trains, and automobiles. But you know, so the tour bus this fall, I was like, okay, this is going to be crazy. It's like a rock and roll tour bus. And honestly, there wasn't a single eventful thing that happened on that tour bus. Those dudes are like the straightest laced people that I think I know. I don't know if you know this PlayStation game called Katamari Damacy.
Oh, that game is so tripped out.
Yeah, so for people who don't know this game, it's a Japanese game. Most of the dialogue and the music is like really amazing J-pop, and you're this guy that like has this ball, and you roll around a world and pick up different objects, and as you pick up more objects, the ball gets bigger and you can pick up bigger objects, and so you start off picking up marbles, and then you'll pick up you know, beach chairs, and then you can pick up like houses, and then you can pick up whole continents. There was actually a lot of playing of that game. That's the most eventful thing that happened on tour.
that's really going to disappoint a lot of people out there, I gotta say.
Yeah, that's gonna blow up the particularly P-Thug's Katamari spot.
Oh man, yeah, that game though is so crazy. Like I don't really do drugs anymore, but when I watch people, I've played it briefly, but I've watched people play it, and it just makes me feel like I'm so high. because it's so incomprehensible and weird and random.
I'm just picturing...
The soundtrack is amazing.
I'm just picturing P-Thug crawling into the hole in the closet and being John Malkovich and then playing Katamari Damacy as John Malkovich.
Yeah, with Sammy Bananas in like a little like backpack that you carry a baby in because he's your Dickensian benefactor.
Yeah, that's this movie just got way better.
Yeah, and that is exactly what it's like to go on tour with Chromeo. All right, let's take a listen to Sammy's remix of Chromeo's When the Night Falls.
For a good time in the city where there's no one else around, and I know it's been a little while, but your number is the only one I found. Now we've had our share of ups and downs in the years that I came through your town, but let's put it all to rest and just have a night of one-on-ones where the conversation has begun. Put your head on my chest. There's something about you, girl, and it's rather strange. I wanna contact you, girl, and rekindle the flame. I'm a fast-talking romantic with a highfalutin ways, but it's all about the impression you made on the first time I met you, and it stayed with me for days. And now I want that feeling back, but I'm not sure where to get it. And you have the answer to that, and you say it's nothing but fun and games, but over the phone it's not the same. So let's try to cross paths. There's something about you, girl, and it's rather strange. I wanna contact you, girl, and rekindle the flame.
When the night falls, oh yeah,
you can tell about the way that you feel.
Make the night falls, oh yeah,
and just hope that she remembers you still.
Okay, so one of the things about that remix that you did is that it's very smooth and silky, and you know, I think a lot of people know by now that you're a big saxophone aficionado, and there's this project that you and I are involved in called Strange Danger, and I think you should try to explain this to people. See if you can give it a shot.
this is the part where I need to get on my computer and see if I have the little sticky note that I made about all the different ways to describe Strange Danger.
Oh, seriously?
That we first started. Didn't we start talking about this? Yeah, here we go. I still have this because we were, the first time we started working on it, we were saying, like 80s gay porno music, but straight. rat-tat-tat for sexual predators. That one's pretty good.
That's a good one, yeah.
Weather Channel funk for hipsters.
Yeah.
That one's not great, but pre-Dilla.
Pre-Dilla.
I think that was right at the very beginning of the project, so I think I would kind of throw in B or C movie soundtrack from 1986.
It's the kind of music that will get you to buy a Pinto if you're on drugs.
Yeah, it would definitely. Yeah, it would be like infomercial, like late night infomercial music in 1992.
Yeah, except that you really want to listen to it. Yeah. Okay, we should probably leave that at that and just keep it vague. But hopefully sometime in the next year to 18 months that actually comes out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you work on so many different collaborations. I mean, you and I have a collaboration. You collaborate with Maggie. And then the latest one that you've been involved with is a project called 15th with Mike B. And Mike B, for those of you who don't know, is an awesome DJ out of LA. He did the Banana Split Party with Steve Aoki and DJ AM. He used to work with Stretch Armstrong in New York. And he's just like an all-around good guy, fountain of musical knowledge, etc. What's the 15th project like, and what can we look for with that coming down the road?
So 15th is basically started because Mike, about a year and a half ago, was playing me some like disco samples that he had come across and had started looping, and I kind of heard this stuff and was like, whoa, this is like the basis for something that could be really cool. And I started having all these ideas of other musical things, you know, that could complement these samples and kind of turn them into like full songs. And so we just started collaborating on this stuff, and we both really like, you know, groovy house music, particularly around, I think, when we both started really discovering dance music and house music, which is the late 90s. So this is kind of like our take on that era's music. And I think we intentionally try to make it take off the sheen that's usually on a lot of current dances that people are making on computers, and try to make it sound a little bit fucked up and weird. To kind of give it more character. But it's been good. We put out an EP on Fool's Gold a couple months ago, which has been getting a great response. A lot of DJs say that they really like it.
Cool. Shout out to Fool's Gold.
That's who it's for. We got another song coming out on a Scion compilation that Mike is curating, which should be out early next year. And I'm pretty psyched about it. That one, the cool thing about that is that we weren't allowed to actually use samples because we're making a song that's going to have the name of a big car company on it. So we actually made a loop and then pretended like that loop, which was bounced down to a stereo file, was just something we found and never went back and touched the actual parts of the loop that we had made, and just used the stereo file of it to make a song out of it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So we'll see if it actually works. I think it sounds pretty cool. But
so you're primarily associated with Fool's Gold Records, and 15th is on Fool's Gold.
Yeah.
And Fool's Gold is like kind of a juggernaut right now. I mean, Duck Sauce just got some Grammy nominations, and you know, I mean, it's really got
Danny Brown is on all sorts of year-end lists.
What's it like having been with that label since the beginning and knowing A-Track and Catch Dubs when that was all just starting out, and sort of watching it come along? I mean, what's that been like, and what's it like now that it's, you know, a really, really major independent label?
It's definitely been cool to see it grow, and I feel incredibly lucky to have been just in the right place at the right time, which is really what happened. You know, I knew both A-Track and Nick before they started the label, and so I kind of was just the right circumstance that had me playing some of the first bootleggy type music that I was making a few years ago, right as they were starting the label. But yeah, they both are just have like really, really know what they like when it comes to music. And I think that's allowed them to have the quality control for the label be really high. And so that obviously more quickly gets people to kind of go and check for it because they know that they can rely on what they're going to put out. But then in tying in with that, they really just have like all of their branding on point. And so it's kind of like, because of that, the events they throw, you know, the whole thing that they represent, it's just really become this fixture that people can kind of, you know, expect Fool's Gold to be like this seal of quality on stuff. I think it's really hard to develop that in anything. You really need to be able to see the bigger picture of what you're doing from the very beginning. And so I'm amazed that they've done it. But I also kind of, knowing them as people, they knew that that's what they wanted to do from the very beginning. So they just kind of had to like keep that goal in mind.
Yeah, it's like the right mix of, I mean, both A-Track and Nick have taste, but it's, you know, A-Track brings a lot of the star power, and then Nick has this great network of connections from working at Fader, but also, as you and I were talking about the other day, we played a party with Nick, and you dropped the bomb on me describing Nick Catchdubs as being the human embodiment of the internet.
Right. Sometimes I feel that way. Yeah. I was just talking to him last night about how he has an addiction to like YouTube nostalgia, specifically like advertisements from his youth. And so he'll like basically just scour YouTube to try to find all of the ads that he remembers from growing up, from like Saturday morning cartoons and all that stuff. And that it's just as he tries to find more and more and go like deeper and deeper with more obscure shit, it just gets harder and harder to find stuff that he doesn't know already. and that's how it's an addiction, because you need a bigger and bigger rock, to quote him.
I wanted to jump back for a hot second. We were talking about Fool's Gold and their branding and stuff, and I think, you know, if we're having this conversation, we definitely have to mention Dust LaRock's contribution
of
to
course.
The label.
Yes, true. Shout out to Dust LaRock.
Yeah, he, you know, is, and they always, you know, reference him as really a third of what the whole label is. You know, it's A-Track, it's Nick, and it's Dust. And really, it wouldn't be Fool's Gold without any one of them missing. But yeah, I mean, I think that kind of is the unspoken basis of the branding stuff that I was talking about. You know, having a consistent visual image is just really, I think, they knew that that's one of the things that they knew that they wanted to do from the very beginning, which is why they reached out to, you know, Dust, who they already liked his work, and were like, you know, we want you to be an integral part of this, because we know that the visual aspect of it is really important to having people just be able to identify what, you know, what we're doing.
Word. There's one last thing that we wanted to talk to you about, and it's not really directly music related, but it's more related to musicians, specifically DJs.
Music community related.
Yes. It's a project that you're running for, I think it's the third year now. It's called DJs Against Climate Change. And first off, I just want to shout you out for being a socially conscious dude and sort of a good and proactive citizen, because I think there are a lot of people who I come across doing music stuff who don't really think that it's fashionable to be concerned with issues. So I want to give you a lot of credit for setting this up. And why don't you explain to folks what DJs Against Climate Change is and how they can participate?
Yeah, okay. So DJs Against Climate Change is this thing that dates back to really a few years ago when I decided to start offsetting my carbon emissions from all the flights that I take every year, because I realized that it was basically because of all the flights that I take, you know, going to flying to different gigs and stuff, I had a much greater than average personal emissions count for all the carbon that's going into the atmosphere and that's leading to, you know, the warming of the planet and climate change, in addition to lots of other causes of this problem. And so even though, you know, I live in New York and I don't own a car and I do all these and I try to, you know, have a low footprint, I have this huge increased footprint by all the flying that I do. And there's really no way that I can stop flying. I basically have to get a day job and do something else. That's the way that I, you know, make most of my money. So I started buying these carbon offsets every year, and I just figured that it would be, you know, that there's other people who might have even thought of this and seen that as a problem in their own life, like other DJs, or maybe not have thought of it yet, but would just have to be told about the situation and immediately want to get on board. So I kind of just tried to get the people that I know in the DJ community who do the same thing and get them on board and have them realize that this is something that's like pretty easy to do. It doesn't cost a lot of money, but if a bunch of people can band together, it's possible that, you know, we can make a difference. And even though it seems like climate change is the kind of thing that is insurmountable and there's, you know, either it's too late or it's such a big thing to try to tackle and it takes so much to change people's ways that it's not even worth it. Like, I think something like this is symbolic about how, you know, even if, you know, I only get 10 other people or 5 other people to do it, it can be a symbolic thing about people trying to, you know, just take responsibility for what their like place and impact in the world. And that can expand into many other things, not just taking responsibility for carbon emissions.
Like maybe like a little quick thing about what the tax deductible carbon offset actually is for people that don't, like, what does it do
right
for the people that don't know what we're talking about?
So basically it's you want to describe a fish?
I can give an example. In my past life, I was actually an ecologist. So
there you go.
Yeah. True story, actually. So essentially when you buy a carbon offset, what you're doing is you are investing in one of two things. Either the creation of a renewable energy resource that will essentially counterbalance the amount of carbon you've been putting into the atmosphere by creating low emission or zero emission capital improvements or technologies like a windmill, solar panels, or something of that nature, or you're giving money towards the process by which carbon dioxide is sequestered in the deep ocean, which does not mix frequently enough so that the carbon dioxide will actually be underneath the warmer layers of water and the colder bottom reaches the ocean that won't actually come to the surface and release that carbon dioxide for hundreds of thousands of years. Boom.
Yeah. I think that's the technical scientific answer. And basically it's, I guess in the simplest form, it's just a way to counterbalance is the important part of it.
So what you guys are basically you're basically saying that I should stop burning car tires in my backyard.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to burn car tires, just burn them underwater.
All right, cool.
Yeah. For the record, Young Robots Records does not endorse burning tires in your backyard.
I mean, it's all a moot point anyway, because didn't they find that like duplicate Earth like 500 light years away? And they're probably building a spaceship already, so we're just going to roll out.
I heard they weren't allowed to have DJs there, so it's ultra important for all the DJs you know to try to save this planet, because the next one, I heard, we're not allowed to go, because they flew Pauly D over there, and he really wrecked it for everybody. So how can people find out more about DJs Against Climate Change? Is there a website they can go to?
There is a website. So I'm rocking Blogspot still. So you can go check out djsagainstclimatechange.blogspot.com. And if you go there, newly this year I made this short 2-minute animated video that really just runs through with a nice little visual complement to what I was just explaining about, you know, why I think it's important to buy offsets if you fly a lot or if you have a big carbon footprint. It's specifically, you know, targeted to the DJs and other people who I'm trying to get to do this. So I highly recommend people go and watch that. And I don't know if this is going to be going up on the internet before the end of the year.
Hopefully.
But so if it is, then go check that out.
Yeah, I recommend people check that out. And I went there and I put in all the information for all the flights I took to my tour gigs. And then on Sammy's end, he's going to calculate I guess tons of carbon dioxide that I would need to offset based on my air travel. And then I am going to buy tax deductible carbon offsets. There are lots of other DJ role models who've done this. So if you want to be like A-Track and you want to be like Sammy Bananas and you want to be like me, although you don't really want to do that, if you want to be like a bunch of other DJs who are way cooler than
me,
then,
no.
Then, you should definitely go and check it out and, do some good stuff for the earth. Okay, Sammy, well, thanks a lot for joining us on the podcast. And if you have any web addresses where people can go check out your stuff on Twitter and so on, let the people know.
Yeah, basically the gateway to all of that goodness is just sammybananas.com. You go there, you can go from there to the tweets, to the Facebook, to the SoundCloud, a whole universe of bananas. So I encourage you to go there.
Nice. Thanks a lot, Sammy.
Thank you.
All right. And now for our next act, we're going to hear 15th's remix of RCMP's Love the Music, which will be out on Young Robots Records in 2012.
Performed acoustically on the piano by Sammy Bananas over the phone.
By Ed Blamo.
<De-be-de-ba-ba. laughs>
We'll be right back.
All right, thanks for listening. Young Robots Podcast Volume 2 with Sammy Bananas. As always, you can check us out online at youngrobots.com. Find out more about the podcast and the label.
Yes, sir. And make sure you check out the new home for the podcast, youngrobotspodcast.tumblr.com. We should be up on iTunes by the time you hear this, so check us out there as well. I'm DJ App1. That was Ed Blammo. Twitter at DJ App1, at Ed Blammo, at Young Robots. Take care, everybody.
See you next time. Peace.